Okay, the title of my teaching today is The Three Major Lies in Christianity, Part One, The Big Lie. And I'm looking forward to, hopefully, being able to share Part Two and Part Three in the near future, God willing and Bob willing. And I will tell you something in advance. This subject means a lot to me. So please excuse me if I get emotional. Now, the next thing to do is take your Bibles. And I got to take my Bible too. Three major lies have permeated Christianity. One of the lies is not only a part of Christian thinking, it's part of what many non-Christians think Christians believe about themselves. One of the lies has so permeated Christian thinking that it's spilled over into secular thinking and become a common assumption in Western culture and pretty much in the whole world. One of the lies has been elevated to the point that most Christians believe you can't be Christian if you don't believe it. These lies have brought people grief and persecution, made people feel inferior and worthless, caused endless strife and division even among Christians, and made people see God as a fearsome avenger rather than the loving Father that He is. The good news is, God still loves you. And God still will accept you if you turn to Him, especially if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. God will still allow you to walk with Him. In fact, He welcomes you with open arms. So today I'm going to talk about the big lie. The big lie, you've all heard it, I'm sure. The big lie is, you got to be good to go to heaven. Not true. A corollary to that is, or another way of saying it is, God can't stand sin. That's why He deserted Jesus when He was on the cross, because Jesus had all your sin. But you know what? God gave us brains, and He expects us to use them. So think about it. If God can't stand sin, and that's why He deserted Jesus on the cross, how did He talk to Adam in the garden after he sinned? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Another way of saying this is, God can't look on sin. Therefore, He can't look on you when you sin. Therefore, He won't be there to help you if you sin. It's not true. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our reference, a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it doesn't say trouble that you didn't cause. Matter of fact, this is a section that's talking about people turning away from God. God is our help in trouble, even when we sin. Okay? The corollary that many non-Christians believe about Christians is that we think we're better than everyone else. Because, of course, you got to be good to go to heaven. We know we're going to heaven. We think we're better than everybody else. No. Never was it true. Every one of us sitting here in this room, every one of us listening to this teaching, whether in real time or whether on the recording, you all know you're not better than everybody else. Every one of us knows it. Not true. So, we got a lot of verses to go through. I chose only a few of the verses that pertain to this subject, and there are way too many. So I eliminated about 90% of them, and there are still a lot. Okay? First, we're going to go to John 3. Most popular verse in the entire Bible, I believe. John 3:16. John 3:16. Everybody knows it. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see it on banners at football games. Here's the one I'd like to see on banners at football games. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So guess what? The servant is not greater than his Lord. We don't get to condemn the world. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And I specifically didn't write all these verses down so that I would have to turn to them, so you could have time to turn to them. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. And for those of you who can't see me, I'm just using my phone, okay? I got King James on there. I think it's great. This is talking about God reconciling us to himself. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Reconciling the world, not Christians, the world, not imputing their trespasses unto him, to them. Let's look at verse 21. It says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what God's all about, to bring us in, to welcome us with open arms, to make us the righteousness of God in Christ, to bring us in as part of the family. He's not an angry God who's trying to do you in, okay? You don't have to be good to go to heaven. As a matter of fact, if that were the criterion, none of us would be there. God would have no family. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is the angel talking to Joseph about the birth of Jesus. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Matthew 26, 28. This particular reference is Jesus at the Last Supper. Matthew 26, 28. And he says, "For this is Jesus talking, says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That's why he came, so that we could have remission of sins. We don't have to be good to go to heaven because Jesus solved the sin problem. And he was a complete savior. He completely solved the sin problem. Like Ken used to say, we no longer have a sin problem. We have an identity crisis. Let's go to Luke 5, verse 8. Luke 5:8. Do Jesus had just been teaching. He told them, launch out into the deep for a draught. Let down your nets. Peter said, oh, I've been toiling all night. We haven't caught anything. Okay, but Jesus, I know you don't know fishing, but just to humor you, I'll let down a net. And they filled the net, and they filled both ships until they were ready to sink. Luke 5:8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. How many times when we sin do we want to run from God? And yet, what should we be doing? We should be going to God. Luke 15, verse 10. Luke 15, verse 10. Jesus again is talking. He says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And then he tells the parable of the forgiving father. Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9. I hope I remember what I'm supposed to say about this. Oh, yeah. It says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Notice, it does not say for every Christian. It says for every man. And that's the generic man, the one that includes men, women, and children. Okay? But think about it. When did he taste death for every man? Had anybody ever heard of you when he tasted death for every man? No. When he tasted death for every man, that took care of your sins, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Okay, Acts 3:19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is what Peter said on not the day of Pentecost, but the next time a bunch of people got into the Word. He said, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That your sins may be blotted out. If your sins are blotted out, do they exist? No. Can anybody see them? No. That's remission of sins. That's forgiveness of sins. Let's look at Romans 5:8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If he died for us, if he saved us while we were his enemies, while we were sinners, then what's he going to do now that we are trying to walk with him? Yeah, we're imperfect, but we're trying to walk with him. Isn't he going to do even better for us now? One place in the Word talks about, how shall he not with us, with him free us all things? Absolutely. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 11, Romans 6:11. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, if you're dead to something, do you have any interaction with it? No. You're dead to sin. You don't deal with it. You don't remember it. You don't think about it. It's not a part of your life. You're dead to it. So it says, we are to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know a gal a number of years ago who was what she called a recovering alcoholic. Okay. Her entire adult life dealt with alcohol. She was either drinking to excess or trying not to drink to excess or helping somebody else to not drink to excess. But her focus was alcohol. Like her, we can be sinning, trying not to sin, or helping somebody else not to sin. But our focus is still sin. You see that? We are dead to sin. We have no reason to focus on sin. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Just down a couple of verses. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we were servants to sin. Now we turn from that and we are servants to righteousness. Okay? Verse 22. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And then there's Romans 7, which follows after this. That whole section, let's look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Yep. Been there. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Wore it out. Yeah. Look at 24, verse 24. Romans 7, 24. O wretched man that I am, deliver me from the body of this death. How do we get out of this? Next verse gives the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin, and ignore the chapter division. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God made the way for us to get out of this thing. What do? We have to turn from sin and turn to God. You can't just turn from sin, okay? You can't just stop doing something, you know? You have to turn to something else. Turn from sin, turn to God. We heard it in the manifestations this morning. Both of them talked about turn to God, right? Remember that? Yeah. Okay, let's look at, we're in Romans 8, let's look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded, spiritually minded. Turn from one, turn to the other. Okay, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's the criteria. You have the Spirit of Christ in you? Does God dwell in you? Do you have Holy Spirit? That's the criteria. That's what gets you into the gathering together. And you didn't do it. You couldn't do it. You're dead in sins. And guess what? You can't undo it either. You got Holy Spirit, you're going to be in the gathering together. Doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be in the gathering together. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Well, it's here on the screen. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That just gets me. God's not going to remember my sins or iniquities. I will remember no more. And I'll tell you what, that's not the only place he says that either. Let's go to Hebrews 9. See, if God doesn't remember your sins, why do you want to remember them? If he doesn't remember your sins, can he bring them up to you? So then why do you allow the adversary to bring them up to you? Why do you stand for that? Don't. Just don't. Just walk in this deliverance that God has given us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. For he will finish the work. Oh, I'm in Romans still. Let me go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Okay. Here we go. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Ignore the chapter division again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those offered year continually make the comers thereunto perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. If they could make the comers perfect, wouldn't the sacrifices have ceased to be offered? Yeah. Because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. No more conscience of sins. Well, Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, wasn't he? So we don't offer sacrifices anymore, do we? We don't offer bulls and goats and all that. No. So what should happen? We should have no more conscience of sins. So how do we do that? We have to turn from sin and turn to God. Instead of thinking about what sins you committed in the past, you don't have the past. You don't even have 2 seconds ago. You don't even have the future. You don't have 2 seconds from now. All you have is right this minute. Right this second. Right now. That's all you have. You can't make a decision now for what's in the future. Or you can plan for the future. But you can't do something now that happens in the future. If you do it now, it happens now. So we turn from sin and we turn to God. And when we turn to God, what do we do? Well, God, what do you want me to do right now? That's the important thing. God, what do you want me to do right now? And if you're thinking about what God wants you to do right now, are you thinking about your sins? No. You're thinking about what God wants you to do right now. So think about what God wants you to do right now. Turn from sin. Turn to God. Okay? Now where are we? We're in Hebrews, aren't we? Well, we're in chapter 10. Let's look at verse 8. It says, above when he said, and this is, it was quoting from the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. God doesn't care about that stuff. It said in the Old Testament he didn't. offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away the offerings and the sacrifices for sin, so that he could establish the second, which is to do thy will, O God. Forget the sin. God, what do you want me to do right now? And let's go to verse 16. Because this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Twice we read it here in the Word. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, if you're looking at them, you're going to remember them. So stop looking at them. Turn to God. Ask God, what do you want me to do right now? What was that, 17? Yeah, let's look at verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We provoke one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We exhort one another. That means build them up. Call them to a more worthy endeavor. We exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we turn from sin. We turn to God. We build each other up. We exhort one another. And now I know that somebody someplace is going to say, well, what about the next verse? What about verse 26? Verse 26 says, For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, we go straight to hell. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And people have taken that to mean, oh, you can't be purged from your sin if you sin willfully after you have the knowledge of the truth. Not what it's saying. There remains no more sacrifice for sin because Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice, the complete sacrifice. And when did he make that sacrifice? Long before you were heard of. Long before anybody knew who you might be or even that you might exist. The only one who knew you might exist back when Jesus Christ made the sacrifice was God his Father. So there's no more sacrifice for sin. The only sacrifice for sin is Jesus Christ. It was done nearly 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal, signed, sealed, and delivered. First John chapter 2, verse 1. First John, come on. There we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. It says, My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We got somebody on our side, okay? Verse 2. And he is the... Here's that long word that none of us ever use. I read it, payment. He's the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Notice I left out the italicized words. Also for the whole world. Why did I leave out the italicized words? Well, because there's a figure of speech involved if those words are not there. This is God calling our attention to something that's important. This word, this verse is important. He's the payment, not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Well, the whole world Many people in the world have never even heard of Jesus Christ. Many people in the world hate God. Many in the poor people in the world don't know anything about God, don't care. They're caught up in their own stuff. But their sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. Now, how can that be? Well, it's a little bit beyond my mind to understand that. I mean, how can you pay for the sins of somebody who's trying to do you in? But that's exactly what God did. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Their sins are paid for. What has to happen now to draw them into the family of God? Well, they need to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, then they're part of the family of God and they'll be in the gathering together. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, oh, and this is another section. This is talking about the tribulation they're talking about here, is tribulation from not doing God's will, from following after other gods, from turning away from God. If you read the verses before, you'll see that. When thou art in tribulation, and all things are come upon thee, what things? The things that come upon you when you don't follow God. When you sin. When thou art in tribulation, all things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if God is where from sin, God, you want me to act. Verse 19, 26, verse 18. This is Paul talking to Agrippa about his experience on the road he first encountered Jesus Christ. And he's verse 19, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and go and do works meet repentance. They should repent, turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. What are the works meet for repentance? Well, it's what are you doing right now, God? You know, it might be great to do a particular thing. It's wonderful to write a song and sing praises to God. But if that's not what God wants to do right this minute, should you really be doing it? No. Turn to God. What do you want me to do right now, God? Forget your sin, turn to God, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. No. 2 Corinthians 3:15. And this is a big deal that I didn't understand for a long time, but I understand it now. 2 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto this day, when Moses has read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We see things going on in the world, and some people are lacking, severely lacking liberty. And they go after it. That's a very important thing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Does it say we change ourselves? No, we don't. We are changed by the Spirit of the Lord. How do we do that? Turn from sin, turn to God. God, what do you want me to do right now? And that will change you. Absolutely. Because you're not thinking about sin anymore. You're not thinking about your shortcomings. You're not focused on yourself. You're focused on God. What do you want me to do? And usually what God wants you to do is something that deals with other people. Why? Because we have the ministry of reconciliation. We're calling people to God. That's what God wants you to do. It's a very simple thing. All you got to do is turn from your sin, turn to God. Very simple, right? Is it easy? No, not at all. And that reminds me of what JFK said in the early 1960s. He said, "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." It may be hard to turn to God and do God's will. Simple, but it may be hard, but you can do it because you have Christ in you. So when you are confronted with sin, turn to God. When your mind condemns you, turn to God. When you feel less than the best or inadequate, turn to God. When you remember your sins, turn to God. Matter of fact, when you're worried about how you might sin in the future, turn to God. Focus on God and what He wants you to do right now. Don't have to think about what He wants you to do 20 minutes from now. If He tells you to prepare for something, then you have to prepare right now for